T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494 gets you aboard. We'll get back to the phone lines here and discuss Nick Castellanos and a potential bounce back season one day away from opening day. A lot of Eagles stuff to come as well. Jeff Lurie spoke yesterday at the owners' meetings, but let's talk some Sixers here. And Hugh, we've talked a lot of Sixers the last couple days with Joel Embiid and the MVP race, and is he a championship player? And then, of course, reacting to him not playing on Monday. And let's talk to Kyle Newbeck, of course, who covers the team for Philly Voice and does a podcast here with Elliot Shore Parks. He's with us right now to talk some Sixers. Hey, Kyle.
Kyle.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Kyle, what were your feelings on the fact that Joel Embiid didn't play against Jokic?
I think I would not have even really thought twice about it if it was not for the fact that an interview with Joel Embiid dropped that morning with him, you know, not attacking Jokic directly, but sort of, you know, talking about why people are voting for him and why Joel thinks he should be more valuable than him, so on and so on and so on. And I think for that to come out and then a couple hours later the news drops, oh, yeah, he's not playing tonight, it just comes off as kind of a weak move. I'm not sure how it is going to play with the broader MVP voting base, but I know there are some people, including Kendrick Perkins over at ESPN, who have voiced their displeasure that Joel would do something like that.
Kyle, in your experience the last, you know, whatever years, obviously Joel's whole career really covering the team, and especially lately as he's become more of a superstar player the last handful of years, how does this typically go? What is your understanding of how it goes when Joel needs a night off? I'm not talking about like a significant injury where the doctors are involved and he's, you know, he's out for 3 weeks. I mean like this, right? Saturday night, he said, I'm tired, I need a day soon. And then Monday, he doesn't play. We know a lot of times he's questionable or it's game time decision and then he plays. From your understanding, are these days, these moments typically Joel Embiid says, I'm good to go or I'm not? Or is this the trainers, Doc Rivers? Like, how do you think this usually goes?
So I think it's a combination of both sides weighing in. I think Hugh probably has plenty of experience with this where, you know, you get the recommendations from the doctor. They say this and that about where you're at and what could go wrong, what could get worse, what the risk is. And then ultimately, a lot of the times it's on the player to say, you know, I'm good and I'm willing to take that risk or whatever it is. And so, no, I think there have been games where Joel has spoken up and said, I am good to go. Like, I don't care what you say. And maybe he's played through some things like any athlete does. So I think this one is probably about them all getting together and looking at the big picture here. Like, the 1 and 2 seeds are probably off the table at this point based on the amount of games they are back and tiebreakers and this and that. And so I don't think they're pushing that hard for seeding anymore. And they're looking at it and saying, look, if Joel and James are at all compromised, and we can get these guys days off, we don't really care who it's against, we're going to prioritize rest and their health for the playoffs above all else.
So do you think that by him not playing in this game the other night, that really, you know, that hurt his MVP chances?
I think it'll probably be a big thing this week and then die down. I think what we've seen in this MVP race, Hugh, is that these guys are so close that the race just seems to swing back and forth every other week, essentially. I'm actually kind of surprised that it's become so much about Jokic and Embiid, and somehow Giannis feels like he's flying under the radar despite the fact that he's having another incredible season, and the Bucks have the best record in the entire league despite the fact that Chris Middleton missed months of this season. So I'm a little surprised there hasn't been a coalescing around him as the guy, because he kind of has the clear-cut two-way case on top of being the best guy on the best team. So I think this game that they have coming up against Milwaukee looms large for Joel. I think if he really wants to go out there and win that award, that he's going to have to win at least 1 of 2 against Milwaukee and Boston coming up. And ideally for him, got to win both those games.
So, Kyle, how do you think the Sixers are going to play the rest of the regular season? How should they? Because we're now teetering at that point where obviously the one seed is done. They're not going to get that. They're five back in Milwaukee. They're also 2.5 back of Boston. So that's a challenge. They could do that, but that's a real challenge. And then you have they're banged up, Harden, Embiid. You know, what do you think the priority is going to be over the next handful of games here? Because they're in a weird middle ground where I'm not sure what they're going to do and what they should do.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think priority number one has to be health. If there's anybody that has a nagging injury, aches and pains that they got to deal with or they feel like they can't play with, you just sit them down and you live with the results. There have been some concerns about whether, and this seems crazy based on what we were talking about as soon as, you know, a week or two ago, but they could eventually fall to the four seed. I don't think that's realistic because they have the tiebreaker on Cleveland and they're a couple games up on them. But that honestly, if that does end up happening, it might end up working out better for them in that they can maybe avoid Boston until the conference finals. They've matched up better with Milwaukee this year, and maybe Cleveland takes out the Celtics for you in round two. That can end up working out in your favor. But yeah, I think the long and short of it is, Joe, they're going to prioritize health. I think they're still a lot of reps they need to get in to really tighten up this playoff rotation by the time the playoffs start. And soon enough, we won't have to think about regular season basketball anymore, which is a very freeing feeling for me.
Who would you say right now going into the playoffs would be the Sixers' toughest matchup? Would that be Boston or would that be Milwaukee?
I think it's Boston, Hugh, mostly because they pose a lot of problems for James Harden specifically. The fact that they can throw multiple really good wings at him and switch pretty much everything. They have a guy like Marcus Smart, who recently won Defensive Player of the Year, who will get up in his chest, make it hard for him to attack the paint and do things like that. And then that junks up a lot of things that Philadelphia wants to do on offense. I'm pretty confident that Joel Embiid is going to be able to do what he wants against teams like Boston and Milwaukee, and really basically any team in the league at this point. So when I'm thinking about matchups, I think a lot more about how does this impact Tyrese Maxey and James Harden and the other guys on the team. And I think based on being 0-3 against them this year, even with Boston sitting a lot of their guys in the second matchup, I think you undoubtedly have to say that the Celtics are the toughest matchup that they're going to face.
Kyle, which injury is more worrisome or should be more worrisome? The Harden issue, which he's obviously trying to work his way back with the Achilles, or Joel? I mean, that video last Wednesday night, everyone was freaking out as he grabbed his calf, didn't play in the second half. Then he plays a back-to-back, and then obviously we didn't see him Monday against Jokic here. Which one for you is more concerning? I think we all realize Joel is the better player, more important player, but just the two injuries themselves, which one you think is a bigger concern for the Sixers right now?
Yeah, I'm not trying to cop out, Joe. I honestly think it's pretty 50-50 because if you look at it, like Joel has the longer history of having injury concerns. And so obviously whenever he has any kind of ache or pain or real issue, you're just like, oh, the sky is falling. Can't believe this is happening again. And so you never really know with him. It always feels like the bottom is going to drop out at some point. On the other side of things, Harden is older and more recently had, the hamstring problem last year where that we could all see that physically compromised him in a way that made it hard for James Harden to be the guy that he's been throughout his career. And so the concern is at this point that there's not enough season left for him to rev up and get back into that, that physical state of being and that mindset that he's been in all year where he's been a great co-star to Joel Embiid and it's been essential to making them go on offense. So I would say I'm equally concerned on both, but if I had to pick, I'd say Joel just because, as you said, he's the better, more important player for them.
Well, and Kyle, yeah, he is. And it's enormous to see how he comes out tonight. Your guess before we wrap up here, your guess, do we see Joel tonight? I'm just a guess. Do we see him or you think he could miss another game here?
I think it's possible he could miss another game. I'm purely guessing right now. I mean, we'll see closer to tip. I would imagine we'll probably it'll be a game time decision and it'll go through warm-ups and all that kind of good stuff. So we'll see. But I do think James will probably be back and maybe we'll get to see a real team take the floor tonight.
Yeah, well, the other team they're playing tonight is struggling as well as Kyrie blows up the Mavericks. So maybe a win tonight
it's
just because of that.
Fault.
It always is. Kyle, we appreciate you hopping on and we'll be reading the Philly Voice and listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
There he goes. Kyle Newbeck there joining us. So, I mean, a couple of things I found interesting about that. One, he thinks...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.